meditation has been practiced for thousands of years, with devotees from every walk of life. But the path to inner peace could get a bit easier, thanks to this high-tech meditation suit. Sensors inside measure the wearer's breathing, skin temperature, and perspiration, while a neck strap measures posture. Data is transmitted wirelessly to an artificial intelligence algorithm, which guides the user towards better technique.
21 years after Harry Potter's debut, Bloomsbury Publishing is still under his spell. The London-based firm has reported annual revenue of more than £161 million. That's a rise of 13% and its highest level since 2007. Full-year pre-tax profit rose 10%, as did its shares after the result. Harry Potter sales jumped 31%, helped by special editions of The Boy Wizard's Adventures.
As Facebook has grown, it has helped give people everywhere around the world new tools to stay connected to the people they care about most. But it's also become clear over the last couple of years that we haven't done enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections, and developers misusing people's information. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility. And that was a mistake, and I'm sorry for it.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's May 23rd, 5:10 in the morning. And we're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway on the broadcast today. It is Migraine and Headache Awareness Month, and we're going to be talking with the Vice President of the National Headache Foundation, not only about some new treatment, but also about headaches in general, and we'll help raise awareness of that. And later in the broadcast, it's the Sweets and Snacks Expo underway in Chicago. We'll have a little sugar to begin the day. We will talk with the Vice President of the National Confectioners Association. That's coming up at about 5:40 this morning. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian indices mostly slipped today amid continuing worries about North Korea and U.S.-China trade talks. After the perk of those, at least in the interim, fading of trade tensions with China the day before. Japan's Nikkei closed almost 1.5% lower. South Korea's index gained just a fraction. The Shanghai Composite lost about 1.5%. And Hong Kong's Hang Seng lost about 1.5% as well. Here in the United States, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street. Dow futures are down 192 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. NASDAQ futures down by about 1% this morning. And in Europe, markets are also lower. The DAX in Germany off about 1.5%. In France, the CAC is off more than 1%. And in London, the FTSE is off almost 3/4. Oil is trading this morning at $72.09 a barrel, which is down about 15 cents. Couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. Congress has moved to dismantle some key rules for banks that were installed to prevent a replay of the 2008 financial crisis. The House voted 258 to 159 yesterday to approve legislation rolling back the landmark Dodd-Frank law, sending the bill to President Trump. He's poised to sign it and to deliver on yet another campaign promise of gutting Dodd-Frank. The Republican-led bill, which already cleared the Senate in March, garnered votes from some Democrats, about 30 of them yesterday. The legislation increases fivefold to $250 billion in assets, the threshold at which banks are deemed to be too big to fail and plugged into the financial grid if one were to fail, it would cause major havoc. The banks currently are subject to stricter capital and planning requirements. The Eurozone economy was supposed to be picking up in the second quarter. It's not happening. The 19-country Eurozone does not appear to be moving forward and gaining. One closely watched survey is what we're watching this morning. The financial information from IHS Markit says its Purchasing Managers Index for the Eurozone, a broad gauge of business activity, fell in May to an 18-month low. There's a new drug that has been approved for people who suffer from migraines. The drug from Amgen and will be about $6,900 a year for people who want to take it. It's called AIMOVIG, pronounced, I think, A-I-M-O-V-I-G. We'll get the full pronunciation, perhaps, from Dr. Timothy Smith, our first guest this morning. He's the vice president at the National Headache Foundation. Dr. Smith, good morning and welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Do you know how to pronounce this new drug? It's not on my list of
Yeah, I think you got it pretty close. It's AIMOVIG.
AIMOVIG. So this is one of the first real drugs for migraines in a while, isn't it?
It's actually, in the United States, it's the first ever preventive migraine drug that is solely for the prevention of migraine. Everything else we have was initially invented for something else, for like controlling seizures and things like that, and then was subsequently found to have partial benefit for migraine prevention. So this is the first true migraine preventive medication in its class, and there'll be other drugs to follow into the new year.
You know, along with the news that this drug was out there and perhaps working was the price tag for it. I mentioned that Amgen was going to charge about $6,900 a year for the drug. That seems to be a high price to pay, but perhaps it's not for people who suffer from migraines.
Well, it's open to debate. It sounds like a high price tag. It's actually that they surprised me that they actually came in a little lower than some industry experts were projecting. So $540 a month, and they're going to have, I understand, pharmaceutical company is going to launch a copay program or something that will save people who qualify a lot of money off of that. And they're saying that some patients will pay as little as $5 a month if they qualify for the program. So there'll be an assistance program as well. So, and we think there'll be pretty good insurance coverage of it as well.
Your organization, I'm guessing through your organization, you see a lot of people who suffer from headaches from one reason or another. Talk to us about the significance of these cases, the rates of people who have debilitating headaches. What's the scene like?
It's not many people know it, but migraine affects about 35 million Americans. And it is the number one cause of disability amongst all neurologic disorders. And that's pretty shocking as well. But I think the thing is that it strikes people in the prime of their life. They're working in child-raising years and causes a lot of missed family time, a lot of missed work, and a lot of less than optimal work. People go to work, suffering from migraine. And their performance is down, and there are billions of dollars lost in productivity in this country every year because of migraine. So it's kind of the silent cause of disability. It sort of flies under the radar screen, and people suffer in silence, and patients are stigmatized. And, you know, that's one thing that the National Headache Foundation is working on is education programming so people can understand, you know, the scope and nature of the problem a lot better, you know, for migraine, for cluster headache, for post-traumatic headache, all kinds of headache disorders.
Dr. Smith, for those of us who don't suffer from these migraines, these severe headaches, what is the pain like?
Right, Steve. So could you imagine having recurrent bouts of severe, crushing, throbbing headache pain that worsens with any movement? Is also associated with extreme light and noise sensitivity, nausea and vomiting, and sometimes vision disturbance, cognitive impairment or disturbed thinking. It can really mess up your life, and it goes on for 72 hours at a stretch for a lot of people, and it just keeps coming back. And some people have multiple attacks every month. It's quite a disheartening and discouraging, medical disorder to have.
We were talking about this drug that has just been approved, but is this, do people who suffer from these headaches, do they find any relief with the common things that we think help headaches, like aspirin or Tylenol or anything like that?
There are some who are able to get some partial relief from over-the-counter medications. We do have acute, what we call abortive therapies, a class of drugs called the triptans, which work quite well to turn migraines off when they start. Where we've been lacking is in the preventive arena, so medicines that you can take regularly to keep migraine attacks from coming on in the first place. We have some approved, you know, some FDA-approved agents out there that we use, but they are, you know, they tend to have side effects, and they tend to not work optimally. And many people can get some relief if they have a physician that will work with them carefully to try to find the right dose and the right combination of medications that they can tolerate and stay on. But it's been hard. There was one study that came out recently that showed that somewhere between 60 and 90% of patients who've been prescribed one of the previously available or currently available other migraine medications are not on that medication in a year's time. They either lapse because they can't tolerate the side effects, or it doesn't work, or they don't like it for other reasons. But whatever the combination of things that happens, people don't tend to stay on those medications very well, and they don't get lasting relief. We're hoping that the new class of drugs will do a much better job than that and be essentially side effect free.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, futures down triple digits heading into the opening bell. Investors concerned after the president hinted that trade talks with China might not be as fruitful. Congress is undoing some of the rules on banks put into place after the 2008 financial meltdown. The House approving a bill that rolls back some of the Dodd-Frank law. The Senate passed the same bill in March. It raises the threshold where a bank is deemed too big to fail, effectively cutting regulations on more than two dozen financial institutions. Unemployment may be at historic lows, but a lot of Americans say they're still struggling. A survey by the Federal Reserve says 4 in 10 adults would have to borrow money or sell something if hit with an unexpected bill of $400. And less than 40% of Americans think that they have enough stashed for retirement. The CEO of JCPenney is trading in clothes and bed for tools and fertilizer. Marvin Ellison is on his way out to take over as top executive at Lowe's. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're on with Dr. Timothy Smith this morning. He's the vice president at the National Headache Foundation based here in Chicago. Dr. Smith, we're talking about Migraine and Headache Awareness Month. What is the message that your foundation wants to get across to folks?
So our big message is a message mostly to migraine sufferers at this time who are suffering in silence. And the name of our campaign is You Are Not Alone. And we said a few minutes ago that migraine sufferers tend to suffer in silence. And they've been sort of stigmatized and feel sort of marginalized and they feel alone in their lives, don't feel like they can talk to even their physicians about their problems because they're so misunderstood. And we're trying to change all that. And we want to let people know that, you know, their stories need to be heard, and we need to elevate the conversation and build community for people who suffer from migraine.
And people can do that at headachestory.com. Is that right?
That's right. So that's our new sort of, they call it a micro site. It's a sub website of our web presence. And this is a platform that patients can log directly into, headachestory.com. And they can leave their story, they can type it in, leave words, or they can do a short video sort of presentation, and they can tell their stories, and they can read and view other people's stories on there. There are already several that are on there. Even though the Headache Awareness Month doesn't begin until June 1st, but there's never a bad time to talk about this and try to elevate, you know, some awareness on it.
You mentioned earlier that there's an economic impact, negative economic impact to the country because of this, in addition to the debilitating nature of this. Why hasn't this been more, do you think, front and center for everybody to talk about and try to fix?
I think it's been so misunderstood, and I think one of the big problems is that everybody, almost everyone, 95% of the population has some kind of headache in their life. It's usually, for most people, it's kind of a mild tension headache that, you know, will just get better if they just relax or, you know, or change their, you know, activities or something like that, or worse, maybe take a Tylenol or something. And for someone to have a more debilitating headache that they can't get over, you know, I think patients with migraines hear people say, you know, just a headache, you know, what's your problem? Can't you get over this, you know, and that sort of thing. And it's not that simple for migraine sufferers. And what they do is they get this conditioned response to sort of take it underground, you know. It's sort of like, you know, people don't understand. I get sort of ostracized for it. I get picked on at work, or you know, people you know, or my family or my friends or whatever don't understand my plight. And so they just stop talking about it. And so it kind of winds up, you know, sort of flying under the radar screen, and people are not aware. And it's, I think we need to enter into a time where people can understand this better, and we can advocate for better policies on access to medications. We can advocate for better education programming for people and better research to help understand the reasons why this happens.
Dr. Smith, we appreciate you being with us this morning, and all the best to you and the Headache Foundation.
Thank you for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Our Dr. Timothy Smith, the Vice President at the National Headache Foundation, based here in Chicago. Migraine and Headache Awareness Month starts June 1st. You can find out more about the foundation at headaches.org. And tell your story, headachestory.com, for Migraine and Headache Awareness Month.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's InnO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInnO.com. Two Chicago tech companies have cracked CNBC's list of most disruptive companies, a ranking of 50 private firms whose innovations are, quote, changing the world. Lanza Tech, a clean energy startup that's developed a gas liquid fermentation process, came in at number 26, while Uptake, a predictive analytics startup, landed at number 39. SpaceX, Uber, and Airbnb top the list. And Oak Brook Terrace-based Redbox, which provides kiosk-based Blu-ray discs and video game rentals, is going to start offering 4K Ultra HD rentals for only $250 a night. The first batch of rentals will include Black Panther, The Matrix, and The Martian. That's today's InnO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInnO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
And this InnO Minute sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Did you know that Illinois is one of the top five confectionery producing states in the country? Candy is a big driver of the economy. We thought we'd take a dive on that this morning as the Sweets and Snacks Expo is underway in Chicago. Susan Whiteside is the Vice President at the National Confectioners Association and joins us this morning. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. This is a big show for your organization. Tell us about the size and scope of the event this year.
You bet. Well, the Sweets and Snacks Expo is celebrating its 21st anniversary here in Chicago. We have about 18,000 attendees over at McCormick Place. They represent 90 countries, and we have more than 800 different candy, chocolate, gum, mints, and snack exhibitors.
Give us a sense of how big. I mentioned there in the opening, Illinois, one of the top five confectionery producing states. But give us a sense of how big of an impact sweets and snacks have on the economy.
Well, around the country, there are about 465,000 jobs that are supported by the confectionery industry. So that, of course, includes manufacturing jobs, of which there are about 55,000 around the country. But there are 235 suppliers who rely on our industry, thousands of transportation jobs, and retail jobs as well.
Out of the hundreds of companies that are on the 4 acres of the site this year and all of these different sweets and snacks, does that get whittled down to just a handful of things that are going to be popular in the coming year? How does it work?
Well, we have an awards program, which all of our exhibitors can submit to. We have about 300 new products that are submitted each year for the Most Innovative Products Awards. And then we narrow that down into 9 categories of different kinds of sweets and snacks. And we do develop a list of about 40 of the products that our panel of retail experts think are going to be the biggest sellers and the most likely for consumer interest in the next year.
The job of the judges must be one I just can't imagine. Do they have to taste everything, I'm guessing, right?
They don't have to taste every single item unless they want to. They're assigned to a category. They have to taste everything in our category. But I have to tell you, Steve, that one of our judges this year tasted 141 products. Can you imagine?
I cannot imagine. I would imagine that there would be a little bit of exercise that would have to follow that. So, Susan, tell us.
Is it like wine? Taste and fit.
That's exactly right. Is there a theme, a trend of things? I know folks have been talking a lot about sweet and savory. Is that the hot thing right now?
Absolutely. And not just sweet and savory, but a very specific kind of savory, which is artisanal salt. We saw pink Himalayan, black Hawaiian, Maine sea salt, all of these kinds of very high-end, very gourmet salts being introduced sometimes in premium products and sometimes in everyday treats as well.
I've seen folks on Instagram and on other social media taking pictures of things like honey sriracha, cauliflower pretzels, organic dried veggies. There's even, I think, a new Butterfinger that's out there as well. Give us a sense of, you know, how these things get developed. Is it just somebody putting these tastes together? I mean, everybody remembers, you know, Reese's peanut butter cup. It was the Reese's hitting the chocolate. Is that how it happens?
Well, sometimes, although most of the time, it's a very well-trained team of product development experts who are talking to consumers all the time and trying to figure out what it is that people want to see next in treating and snacking. You mentioned, you know, some products like cauliflowers and lentils and chickpeas being used. You know, I think what we saw this year is that there are a lot of products that are challenging our perceptions about what treating and snacking means. And sometimes that is using really unusual ingredients. Sometimes it's big, bold flavors. I think you mentioned habanero and chili. For sure, definitely in snack foods, but even in chocolate, we're seeing that. In caramel, we're seeing that.
And I mentioned Butterfinger, too, and I think I was referring to the Butterfinger candy smothered popcorn. Popcorn treats seem to be coming back this year.
Lots of popcorn treats this year, including the Butterfinger that you mentioned. There's one with black. I mentioned the black Hawaiian sea salt that is phenomenal. That was in our most innovative new product category. And Butterfinger itself also has a new product. They came out with Butterfinger dark chocolate this year.
Is there anything on the outside end of all of this? Like, what is the craziest thing that we would find at the Sweets and Snacks Expo?
Well, you know, our exhibitors are very creative. So this is not just about introducing new products, but it's about bringing people into your booth and showing them that your company is a good vendor to work with, right? Because it's all of their retailers who are at the show. And so the booths at the show are really phenomenal. And if you have been following the social media posts that people have been putting up, you get a little flavor for what it's like there. It's very exciting. It's very colorful. There are costumed characters for the nerds and for the M&Ms and all of these characters that you didn't even know existed walking around and highlighting the company's products. There are selfie booths and photo stations and photo props and games to play in people's booths. It's a very lively show. I really think it reflects the fun and enjoyment of our industry.
What are the challenges of the industry these days? We've talked a lot about people not doing a lot of retail shopping anymore. And I, you know, whenever we go to the grocery store, there's the candy aisle and there's the candy at checkout and the sweets and savory items there. How is that, has that imposed a challenge on the industry with people not shopping as much in real stores?
Well, you know, we think of it as an opportunity for the industry. About 25% of people have bought confectionery online. Now, that's usually because they're looking for something unique or because they're making a seasonal purchase. But we think there is an opportunity to appeal to our consumers when they are shopping online. But the fact of the matter is, online shopping is never going to do completely away with in-store shopping. Every day you're going to realize you want to run out and get a little treat in the afternoon, or that you are out of milk, or that, you know, whatever it is, you don't have an idea for dinner, and you will go into stores. And so, you know, people still are interacting with our products in the stores, but we want to just think of it as a way to challenge ourselves to meet our consumers' needs better and meet them where they are shopping.
It would seem, too, that if you have one of those smart speakers, it would be very easy to, when you got a sweet tooth, just to say, order some more candy and give me a big box of it.
it certainly is a way that people are shopping now. And so we definitely want to make sure that our products are available in that format as well. I think, you know, one of the things I think that's really important to our industry is making sure that we really represent ourselves as a treat, so that consumers can understand how to manage their sugar intake, for example, while they're still enjoying their favorite treats. In fact, just last year, our industry entered into a five-year commitment with the Partnership for a Healthier America, and America's leading chocolate and candy companies have committed to providing consumers with more information, options, and support while they are eating treats.
How are brands like, for instance, Target and Trader Joe's getting involved here? I was reading that the organic snacks have hit the scene, and that's something big that we'll see at the show this year.
Absolutely. We have had a specialty market for, it might be going on the last decade, and every year it just gets bigger with more companies interested in showcasing in that area. To be in our specialty market, your product is premium or gourmet. It is free from, so it's gluten-free, it's sugar-free, or it's organic, all-natural, etc. And we do see a big interest in that category. Now, it is still a niche in the confectionery industry, certainly. But yes, there is growing consumer interest in those products.
Susan, very good talking with you this morning. All the best to you and all of the other sweets and snacks attendees at this year's expo.
Oh, thanks so much.
Susan Whiteside, the Vice President at the National Confectioners Association. The Sweets and Snacks Expo runs through tomorrow here in Chicago.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off 185 points. NASDAQ futures down 67. S&P futures down about 18. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. In the agricultural market activity yesterday, the spotlight on wheat. Wheat futures up nearly 3% on technical buying and crop production concerns because of the dry weather in the Southern Plains wheat belt and other major production areas around the globe. Corn futures up slightly thanks to spillover support from wheat, and soybeans advanced on follow-through buying from Monday's strong gains. At the end of the day yesterday, the nearby wheat contract July was up 14 cents a bushel. July corn was up 1 3/4, and July soybeans up 4 3/4. Looking at the livestock trade at the Mercantile Exchange, the lean hog contracts fell for the third straight session to a three-week low, weighed down by technical selling and weaker prices for hogs in cash markets. And government data released after the close of trade that showed increased supplies of U.S. pork in cold storage could further weigh on hog futures. And so at the end of the trading session yesterday, we saw the nearby hog contract trading lower. And in the cash market in Iowa, southern Minnesota, hogs were off $1.38 a hundredweight. Well, the farm bill, still alive after the setback last week, and the House of Representatives will vote for a second time on the farm bill after the measure was defeated last week. The next activity on the farm bill happening on June 22nd. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, May 23rd. We'll get a look at weekly mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Report on new home sales is due out. The EIA Petroleum Status Report also coming. And we'll get the minutes of the FOMC. Neil Kashkari is one of the Fed speakers out today. Earnings today, Lowe's, Tiffany, Target, and L Brands. Tomorrow we'll get existing home sales, Best Buy, and Gap report earnings. And then on Friday we'll get EU General Data Protection Regulation data. Just some of the things that could move the markets.